The latest jobs report today offered mixed signals about the state of hiring. But one thing was clear, more people are trying to get back into the labor force. Supply chain issues are one key challenge as companies compete for workers. Economics correspondent Paul Solman visited one of the busiest ports in the country, the Port of Los Angeles, to find out more about what's happening.
The supply chain symbol of 2021, container ships, languishing off the California coast, waiting weeks on average, some for 2 months, to get a berth at the ports of Los Angeles and Long Beach. This ship's main use at the moment? A Sea Lion Sunspot.
I've been doing this for 25 years, and this is unprecedented times.
PortX Logistics founder Brian Kempesty.
Containerized shipping started in 1956. We've never seen anything like this.
Pre-COVID, ships rarely anchored offshore. Now they're commonplace, many dozens of them, loaded with thousands of containers per ship, each capable of holding as many as 800 artificial Christmas trees, 7,500 Santa suits. But there's simply no room to dock, given the record cargo coming in each month.
More than 900,000 container units, on average, have been coming through this port since July of last year.
Gene Soroka runs the Port of Los Angeles, the busiest in America, but never this busy.
The cargo coming in from factories in Asia is at all-time highs.
Why? Well, since the pandemic, Americans have been on a buying spree. So many goods have been getting here that the system is overwhelmed.
Once the cargo ships get here to Los Angeles, it's like taking 10 lanes of freeway traffic and putting them into five. You're still moving record volume, but you need even more throughput than you have before.
But who in the supply chain is to blame for being unable to handle the throughput? That depends on who you ask.
So, Paul, as you can see here, we have stacks of containers.
Alan McCorkle is CEO of Euston Terminals, YTI.
If you look, you can see, as far as the eye can see, mounds of containers for the length of our marine terminal.
17,000 containers were sitting here when we visited, more than double the usual number. Nearly half of them empty, since we export so much less than we import. YTI has leased another 32 acres to make room for them all. This may look like the source of the bottleneck, but it isn't, says McCorkle.
So the problem we have is the boxes aren't moving out the gate as they should. And that's what's leading to the congestion we have today. We're a three-berth marine terminal, which means we can berth three ships at once. We have two here now. Unfortunately, because the boxes aren't moving out fast enough, we're not able to work the third ship today.
So you have enough excess capacity to handle the huge tsunami of imports. You just can't get them out of the port fast enough.
Yes, sir. The imports just aren't moving out at the rate and pace they need to keep up with us with the amount coming in off the ship. We're delivering 50% of what we're capable of delivering because the truckers aren't showing up to pull the boxes.
So then are the truckers, or drayage drivers, who transport the containers short distances from the terminal, the main bottleneck.
Now, do we have enough drayage drivers? No.
There's already a nationwide trucker shortage. Nimesh Modi of freight firm Book Your Cargo says the longer waits to pick up containers are making the job especially unappealing at the ports.
They have to be in the lines for hours. That's a huge problem they're dealing with.
Like this driver we met at the Port of Long Beach.
When you go in, it's a lot of line, big line.
And you have to wait a long time.
Like 2 hours to go in, 1 hour, depending, you know.
And that hurts their income, says Modi.
More they drive, more they earn. If they don't drive and sit at the terminal, wait for the container, they don't make money. If my life is becoming difficult, then I'm gonna look for something else.
But a driver shortage is not the main problem, says Harbor Trucking Association CEO Matt Schrapp.
We are the easiest scapegoat in this entire supply chain.
You may be the scapegoat, but are you actually also the main point of congestion?
No, because we have over 14,000 drivers that are operating down here daily. We have drivers right now who are not being dispatched. We have trucks that are parked because literally we don't have a chassis to move the import off of the dock.
Too few chassis. They're the wheeled metal frames that containers are mounted on to be driven away. And logistics expert Brian Kempesty agrees. Too many chassis are now stuck under containers waiting to be sent back overseas.
That means that chassis is unusable. And that's the issue that we're having right now, is there's no available chassis to pick up the full containers, and we're coming to gridlock.
And there's yet another bottleneck further down the supply chain, says YTI's McCorkle.
While the marine terminals are running predominantly two shifts, 7 days a week, first shift, second shift, I think you're seeing some warehouses only working first shifts and partial second shifts.
So we went to the brand new Seco Logistics Warehouse in Carson, California, which Brian Baskin oversees.
How much of this stuff, as a percentage, comes from China?
A significant portion, probably 70% or so.
Trucks haul containers stuffed with goods here to be offloaded and stored, or reloaded onto different trucks to be transported elsewhere. But Baskin says there's no bottleneck here.
The second we have that container in the door, we're turning that product out on the road back interior U.S. within 24 hours. So the delay is not in the yard here.
Baskin's facility runs two full shifts on weekdays, a Saturday shift, and sometimes one on Sunday. Working more at the warehouse isn't the answer, he says.
By expanding hours doesn't necessarily mean you're expanding capability.
And it's hard enough to find workers to cover daytime shifts.
How does the labor shortage impact what we're talking about?
If you're talking about the general warehouse market right now, labor's obviously tight. Rates per hour have gone up $2 to $3 for peak season just to attract people to come work.
And real estate prices for more warehouse space have gone up even more, over 30% since Baskin acquired this space in February.
The landside real estate markets have gone crazy, so there's not a lot of available space to go into to expand any of the shoreside options that you would have normally.
So, in the end, did any link in the supply chain have enough slack to handle the surge?
We were moving in a direction where the growth in the ports every year was getting harder and harder to manage. COVID just kind of put a nuclear bomb on top of all that with the volume.
And why so little cushion? Because extra space at the port costs money, extra trucks and chassis cost money, extra inventory and extra warehouses cost money. Thus, for maximum efficiency, American business moved inexorably to a just-in-time supply chain.
Just-in-time and creating lean supply chains was the focus for the better part of three decades.
But, says the trucking industry's Matt Schrapp,
it's important to recognize that the supply chain is fragile. We, as a country, should really take a hard look of how dependent we are on imports and then have much more realistic expectations about what we're able to achieve within our supply chain to begin with.
The good news, perhaps? Importers may be changing how they operate.
I think people are starting to look at how they source their product and moving away from what has been a just-in-time supply chain into a let's get it well ahead of time.
Now what we see is just-in-case. On our docks today, we may see patio furniture and lounge chairs. Orders have been put in factories ahead of others to build up on inventories across the board.
Even so, everyone we talk to expects kinks in the supply chain well into next year. For the PBS NewsHour, Paul Solman, up in the air in and around Los Angeles.